Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, this is Anne Filippi, founder of The New Health Club. If you want to know about psychedelics as new mental health tools, you came to the right place. I talk to innovators, thought leaders and disruptors, creating the future of mental health and mental wellness. And we think that the future is already here. Hi, and welcome to a new episode of The New Health Club Show. Today, we are talking about cannabis. Yes, that's right. And it's not a substance we usually address. But here's the thing. Cannabis can be part of a mental health support system, and I'm very pleased to have a real expert on this on my show. Finn Auge Hensel, co-founder of the Sanity Group, which also owns the CBD brand Vehi. I'm a big fan of their CBD night spray, by the way, and it's called Mind Cozy Back Dose. But back to Finn. His tech career so far is already very impressive. He founded 5 companies, including the iconic Berliner Berg Craft Beer and so on. He's an entrepreneur and CEO for 7 years with a strong passion and knowledge for product, brand, technology, and consumer goods. But now he's fully engaging in the idea of cannabis as a tool to make life better and healthier. His company is developing innovative cannabinoid-based pharmaceuticals and well-being products, which should be widely accessible. I talked to Finn why and how cannabis can be a mental health support system, why the winner of this US election are new mental health drugs. We talk about his early days as a cannabis supporter in a German political system and why life as an entrepreneur is so much better and more fun if you have a real mission like Finn. Please enjoy the show. So this is our first The New Health Club podcast with a real person, guest, since a long time. And I'm very happy to have Finn Auge Hensel, which means like he's from Danish descent, which is always a plus. And so he's the co-founder of Vehi, right? But he had already, I don't know, had 5 companies, I think, and 5 years experience in consulting, consumer goods, insurance, pharma, like the whole kind of, tech world, you could say, almost. but I mean, today you're here because you want to talk about Vehi and cannabis and CBD, of course. So, of course, we would like to start and want to know, when was your first encounter with cannabis?
Ah, so that's an interesting story because originally, I mean, I grew up in a relatively conservative environment, and very early in my life, because I wanted to be politically active, I already became member of the CDU, the Christian Democratic Union in Germany, the conservatives. And at some point, I became the leader of the Young Union, which is the young conservatives in my hometown. And I had a member in my management committee of that group. And that member had a father who was an oncologist himself. And unfortunately, he became sick with cancer at some point. Mm-hmm. And my friend told me that he's going regularly to the Netherlands to buy cannabis for himself. And that was in 2002. And I was wondering, like, why would he do that? And then the answer was very clearly because he's treating his pain and his other indications that he has with cannabis, because unfortunately no other doctor wants to prescribe it to him. He can't prescribe it himself, but he sees a huge potential in the cannabis therapy. And that was for the first time in my life that I realized cannabis is not only a drug. It is also a drug, but it's also a medication. And very often, the difference between a drug and the medication is the dosage and the therapy form. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, it really opened my eyes. And then I was talking with a lot of doctors, professors around me. And suddenly a whole new world opened up to me. And I was 17 at that point, and that really followed me for the coming years.
So, and then you tried it with your friend just to test
to see how it is
in a small dosage.
I think during that time, everyone more or less did that.
Yeah.
But really, like for me, it was super interesting because there was one doctor that I also talked to in Schleswig-Holstein in northern Germany, who told me that he is growing cannabis in his garden because he wants to supply his patients. And on an official way, he can't do it. So he needs to grow it himself. And then he gives it to his patients for free. And from that point on, I really realized for myself, wow, there's so much behind it. And it's almost like a secret society doing these kind of things outside the official regulation, that this became really interesting for me, that it has so much potential and also in other areas.
Mm-hmm. So, but then you first, after this, you went off to work for a couple of other big...
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I did is I wanted to force the Conservative Party to accept that potential.
Okay.
So in 2002, I wrote a huge a memorandum or manifest on why cannabis is important.
Mm-hmm.
You can still find it in the internet if you're interested.
Of course, you put it in the show notes.
There's a German website called Cannabis Legal, and you can read it all out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was basically fighting for it. And to me, honestly, it was a huge success that end of 2002. The whole Christian Democratic Young Association met in Schleswig-Holstein, like almost 500 delegates in the room. And, you know, you can actually ask this group to decide things, the delegates. And I wrote my manifest, and I said I really would like us to support the medical use of cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can imagine, 20 years ago in the Conservative Party, that was actually a no-no. And it was a huge fight, and like everyone had the beer on the table and drank beer, and then they said no to drugs. And they said, like, look, guys, you're consuming drugs like while we speak. Mm-hmm. So what are you saying? You're against drugs? And then cheers. And then it was a huge discussion. And then at the end, at some point, the president said, like, now we need to decide now. And I was actually like in favor of an anonymous vote. However, he didn't let me do that. So it was a public vote at the end. And it was only 60-40 against me. So 60% said, no, we don't want cannabis in any way. But 40% said, yes, it makes sense and let's do it. And that was a huge success because that was something was even in the press the next day saying like, oh, wow, there's like for the first time like a significant group within the Conservative Party that actually is opening up towards legalization. And that was very, very new during that time. And now, actually, these days, it looks a bit different. Even the CDU in many areas is already pro-cannabis, but that was my starting point. But I never followed it from a job perspective. I did many other things afterwards, but not focusing on cannabis.
But, I mean, it's interesting that in Germany, it seems to be a specific kind of opinion towards decriminalization, legalization, a very strict one.
Mm-hmm.
So, which, of course, we will now... maybe encounter again with maybe with mushrooms or psilocybin as a possible treatment. But so why do you think, what's the typical German thing? Why are people so against these things? Because now, as we've seen last week with the US election, even people from Washington, people from Oregon, I mean, there are a couple of further states already legalizing, they're completely legalizing cannabis on top of things. So... And let's say there are a lot of American articles that said like drugs are the winner of the election besides Joe Biden. So why do you think here specifically in this country, it's kind of difficult to talk about these things?
I think to be honest, it's deeply rooted in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that Germans are very skeptical towards anything that involves risk. We are definitely not a risk-taking culture in this country. And I think that's the reason why Germans, and you see like how many people save money on their bank account compared to other countries, or how many people take insurance in Germany compared to other countries, it's much higher than compared to the benchmarks. And I think it shows that there's a huge risk-averse DNA in our culture. I think if you would ask Germans, everyone would say like, no, that's not me. However, if you see the greater population, you see that definitely the tendencies are like this. And I think that also is reflected in our medication laws, that we are very strict and very conservative on which medication can be marketed in Germany and which ones not.
Mm.
Same with food. Food safety is among the strictest in the world in Germany. And I think the legalization of certain, let's call them drugs or ingredients or new kind of like innovative plans that can be used for other things. I think we are very much conservative in a way that what we don't know, we are skeptical about. And I think that's deeply also rooted then in the parties, which are obviously a reflection of the population.
Mm-hmm.
However, having said that, I think there's also a huge shift in the German population about mm-hmm. that. So if I would have asked the same question like 20 years ago,
yeah.
it would have been a clear no.
Mm-hmm.
We with Sanity Group did a survey last year where almost about 50% were pro a complete legalization of cannabis and regulation. And then another 40% were at least for keeping the medical cannabis allowed. And only 10 to 20% were completely against it.
Oh,
and
wow.
to be honest, I think it's a huge trend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes the parties are a bit more conservative than the population. You saw this with the same-sex marriage, mm-hmm. where the population was already strongly for it. The parties were still arguing year after year if that's a good idea or not. And I think sometimes the political parties are even more conservative and slower than the rest of the population.
Mm.
I think cannabis is kind of the same thing. It will take time. But one thing that the survey also showed us, there is a clear majority for full legalization under the age of 50 across all groups in Germany. And it really goes down over 50. So you see the same in the US right now. There's a new survey. I think almost 80% of all Americans are now supporting full legalization. But you see it's really a big age difference. Like above 60, it's like mm-hmm. almost no one. And then under 60, almost 95%.
Okay.
And I think it's a question of time at the end of the day.
Yeah, also, I mean, it seems that, if we talk about America, like this whole war on drugs thing is ending that was created by Nixon and then later on Ronald Reagan, that just don't do it thing.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I think also like that generation that you are like these people in that age group that you mentioned, I mean, they also obviously develop a new attitude towards mental health and how to treat their mental health with other substances than SSRIs or psychopharmaca in Germany.
Yeah.
So, and if you read the mission statement of Sanity Group, which I find interesting, is that we believe that everybody deserves to live a healthy life and that you guys are developing innovative cannabinoid-based pharmaceuticals and well-being products as well as make them widely accessible. So that means you're also interested in, besides the, let's say, the lifestyle brand mm-hmm. way, which I use a lot to go to sleep.
Very good.
So, this is how we connected on Instagram. But I mean, so how do you think that cannabis and mental health, that, let's say, connection will develop in the future? This is what you guys are working on, basically.
It's very interesting. I think there are different aspects that you need to look at. First of all, cannabis has a reputation problem. Because if you ask my parents or even their parents, or if you ask the public opinion, what do you think about cannabis for mental health? It's by the way, the same. If you Google cannabis and mental health, the first 15 articles are all about the risks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about cannabis destroying your mental health. And I think that's still stigmatized. And one of the reasons why people believe that is because the whole research and science that was done over the last 40 years was only about the risk of cannabis and never about the opportunities of cannabis. And I think that's maybe the very similar to psychedelics and also other ingredients that are seen as very risky by the population. And I think that's a big problem, because that's the reason why also cannabis was never considered as a drug that could even help mental health. However, what many people don't know is that cannabis is also not cannabis. I mean, cannabis has more than 120 cannabinoids in there, which are active ingredients. And THC, the psychoactive one, is just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the assumption that some of the others are also psychoactive. But for example, CBD compared to that is not psychoactive. So I think you also need to differentiate that. However, what I strongly believe, and more research is coming there as well, that while today cannabis as a medication is mainly used for pain and pain treatment. The really interesting field is more everything regarding neurology, psychiatry, psychology. And you see, there are more and more researchers starting that. So there's just two recent studies that came from the US about cannabis against PTSD, like post-traumatic stress syndrome, especially with soldiers who were in Afghanistan and people who actually experienced really bad things in their life. And it suddenly shows that even cannabis can help there. We, for example, like look into cannabis, into psychiatry as well. Like we have like certain studies that we are looking at right now. There are also other studies that are saying that cannabis in certain ways can be even against schizophrenia, where other people still believe cannabis is only for schizophrenia. So I think at the end of the day, we really see a lot of big potential in the plant. However, the research is unfortunately very thin, especially in psychiatry. And the most of the research more at the moment goes into pain. However, I believe that mental health and psychiatry is a huge market for cannabis as well that we are not even like really tapping into right now.
So, but for example, you work with a German scientist, Dr. Kirsten Müller-Wahl, in Hanover.
Hanover, right?
So, and she's basically leading a department of psychiatry and so, which is exactly what you're kind of tapping into. So, but what is the let's say the topic that you research with in collaboration with her? Like, can you talk about that?
Right? Yeah, I mean, like there are a few things. I mean, she is very strong on things like, for example, cannabis against tics, like Tourette syndrome, and that's something very big. So she has really like amazing success stories with patients who had like Tourette tics every day, and since they use cannabis, they don't have it for years. Same as like epilepsy, which can be also treated by cannabis. But she's also looking into what I just said, like schizophrenia and other elements where cannabis can also do good. And unfortunately, she's just one person in Germany who is a psychiatrist and researching on that. However, if you see what kind of role she plays internationally, there's almost everyone in the medical cannabis industry knows her because she's really like one of the few people worldwide who push that topic a lot. However, she's always complaining that unfortunately, because the market is not that big yet, psychiatry and cannabis unfortunately gets the lowest amount of research money right now, while all the big research money goes into other indications like pain and depression treatment as well.
But the money that goes in depression treatment means that in SSRIs, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's for example, there's a study which was done by a few doctors in Munich, and what they found out is, for example, that chronic pain in 95% of the cases leads to depression, and if you treat the chronic pain not only with classic pain medications but also with cannabis, the likelihood that you fall into a depression is 60% lower than without cannabis. So basically, it's not really treating depression, but it's avoiding to get there at the first place. And that is something that I think is also extremely powerful. It's not per se mental health as a treatment, but mental health as a prevention, if you want to say it like this. And I think that's actually also something where we are just in the beginning to understand how things are working.
Yeah. But I mean, when you say also like take cannabis, like in Dr. Müller-Wahl's study, does it mean like people would smoke it or they would eat it?
Yeah, you know, there's a huge discussion right now. There was the German Greens put a law into the parliament, I think 2 weeks ago. It was the cannabis control law, and they wanted to make cannabis legal again. And obviously in the German parliament that initiated a huge discussion between the conservatives and the green and the social democrats and the socialists. And the interesting thing is what you heard when you listened to the conservatives, they are all very open towards cannabis as a medicine. However, they are not open at all regarding the way of smoking it. They give this back to the industry and say like, you come up with ideas that people can use cannabis for medication without needing to smoke it. We just have a certain situation that at least the research I know, you have a thing so-called bioavailability. So it means how much of the ingredient that you take in really lands in your system. And the thing is when you, for example, have a cannabis pill that you swallow, not the same amount of ingredient lands in your system than when you smoke it because your lung is very sensitive and the lung is the best way to basically fast get an effect from cannabis. And the problem is that cannabis already is very expensive. That's the reason why the health insurers don't like it that much. However, if you then, instead of smoking, where you have a very high efficiency, need to use pills or other things, then suddenly the efficiency goes down. So it means to get the same effect, you have higher costs. And that's the reason why the health insurance are currently not really into that kind of innovation. However, I think there are some very interesting innovations on the way right now. We are also looking at many. So, for example, I mean, extracts, obviously one where you don't swallow, but you have your saliva in your mouth and they mix and then suddenly it goes via the skin into your system. So the next one is, for example, a nose gel that some people use because also you have very sensitive skin in your nose and it's easier to get the ingredient in. We, for example, look very strongly into how would alternative ways to consume cannabis with your lung in it without smoking it, like no combustion. So, for example, like an asthma spray or something. So I think there will be innovations over the next years. The question is only, obviously, the politics are always asking for finished pharmaceuticals. So they want you to do a phase one, phase two, phase three right. trial, spend 50 million euros. At the end, you find out 50% chance that you have an evidence or not. And then you either have 50 million sunk costs or if it works out, you have a medication. But then at the end, if you have a medication, the doctor still says like, well, why are the people not just smoking it? It's so much cheaper. So that's kind of like a problem in Germany because the unfinished drug as it's right now is already accepted. And it's really hard to go from that point into a finished pharmaceutical point. There are some examples, Epidiolex or Zativex are both from DW Pharma, good examples, but it's a real question where this whole market will go. Will it all be finished pharmaceuticals or will it become raw materials like extracts and wheat or flour that basically are for a broad spectrum of indications? So, but I can't answer that. And it really depends on, I guess, the next political election and see how that goes and how the different parties are forming the coalition. Mm-hmm. Because if you ask the Greens, they want everyone to grow their own cannabis in the garden. When you ask the Free Democrats, they are also pro-cannabis, but they say no, only packaged goods controlled by the industry and ideally finished pharmaceuticals. So it's a huge spectrum right now.
But I mean, it's not unlikely to psychedelics where you can, you have like the nature people saying that you can only do mushrooms that are kind of grown in nature and it's a total nature plant medicine thing. And then at the same time, like, for example, you have it with a ketamine as a nasal spray.
Yeah.
And it's a very good tool to actually take it, to have it for people who maybe can't go to the clinic or, although you have to go to a clinic still to do even two sprays, like two pumps of a spray. Yeah. But still, I mean, there's also like a development how you can use it like psychedelics differently than just swallow your mushroom. Yeah. Somewhere.
So, yeah, it's a very interesting question that's also relevant for cannabis right now. It's a question natural against synthetic.
Exactly.
And the conservative medical community and the politicians obviously prefer the synthetic because they say that has nothing to do with the plant anymore and the plant is bad. While most of the people who at the moment experience positive effects from cannabis, they completely swear on the plant. So, and one of the reasons is, and that's also, maybe it's the same in psychedelics. It's the question if it's just one ingredient or a mix of ingredients. So, for example, as I said, the cannabis plant has 110 cannabinoids and another 200 terpenes in there. If you do a synthetic, you only can create one cannabinoid at a time. You either have CBD or you have THC. And what many patients, but also doctors are saying, it's the combination of all those that is treating your pain or your indications. And it's not just the one THC and the one CBD. And there's a huge argument in the medical community right now, what is true and what's wrong. However, there are examples where, for example, synthetic THC is not working as strong as the plant. And the people who are in favor of that call it the entourage effect, saying like this is not only the one thing, it's the combination. But that's also, I think, something where science needs to do much more research to see if that's true or if that's just anecdotal evidence. But I think it's, again, I think we're just at the beginning and similar to psychedelics. I think there's a lot of positive news and anecdotal, very good results. But very few little huge studies with 10,000s of patients where you really have a clear evidence from it. I think as long as we unfortunately don't have them, it's always hearsay and scientists arguing about it.
Yeah. But I mean, what you can already see with cannabis, like in the last couple of years, that, I mean, especially in California, where it became like a really big lifestyle industry. Yeah. Like, I mean, like when, even like before we did the interview a year ago, I wrote a big story in an FAZ about the new cannabis luxury world. Yeah. And suddenly there were gummy bears in luxury hotels with infused cannabis. And like you would drive into LA and there would be like bikini girls like all over as advertising, making like advertising for Mad Men, like, and at the Mad Men show, like MED, like medicine man, exactly. Basically, or many of these brands. So, and I mean, then you basically, you were the first one in Germany or maybe in Europe that kind of translated the whole CBD thing into a similar, like bigger idea of a lifestyle brand. So, and how do you kind of, let's say make that connection between something like that we just talked about, like that it's a very, let's say, serious substance also to heal things into a, kind of a fun Apple Store thing.
Yeah, to be honest, I think that was one aspect that I forgot earlier. And I think hopefully when I tell you now, it makes perfect sense. But the interesting thing is Mad Men, the company you just mentioned, they had an advertising, which I loved 2 years ago. And the advertising was called Not a Stoner. And what they basically did, they were fighting against the stigma that only completely stoned people who want to completely leave this world on the couch are taking cannabis. But what they wanted to portray was also that normal people, firemen, policemen, doctors are taking cannabis in the evening to get relief from the stress they get over the day. And to be honest, I think that's my strong connection to mental health, because if you see why are people having mental problems these days, they don't have enough sleep, they have too much stress, and there's almost a one-to-one relation between stress and sleep levels and mental health problems that are following afterwards. It's obviously not the only reason for mental health problems, but it's definitely one of the big reasons. And if you position cannabis as something that relieves you from your stress and helps you to calm down in the evening to basically have a better feeling before you go to bed, then you, I think you can make this kind of connection very strongly, because that's why people meditate. That's why people go to the spa. That's why people actually do yoga, is because they need to get a like kind of a balance between their busy life and calming down and having their me time. And I think cannabis, even though not seen as a medication, can do that. And not even, and coming back to depression and chronic pain, it will not actually probably treat the depression, but it might help people who are under stress not to even get a burnout or not to even get depression. And I think that's, I think, a very good connection. And the way how we position Vi is definitely as a healthy brand, and really like get your sleep, have your me time, ideally do yoga at the same time, do sports, do meditation. And as I said, this Mad Men campaign, Not a Stoner, portrayed like policemen who just do it after work, after a stressful day. They portray doctors who had strong operations and then they want to calm down afterwards. And I think that's the future, to be honest. And I also think that's the majority of cannabis users in 20 years from now. It's not the people who are maybe compared to alcohol, the alcoholics who just try to leave the world for one day and then they do it again. It's the people who just do it on the side and say like, I need a break now. And there are a few very good American companies like Dosist, for example. It's little like vape sticks where very low levels of THC are in, so you can't even get fully stoned with it. But it's something you take on the side or in the evening when you just want to have your little portion of de-stress moment.
So, I mean, I also think that we cannot function anymore in the world that is here without support, other support systems, because the people always had support systems, like, or substances in a weird way, if you want to call it like that, because it was never, there was never like a situation. And you sometimes think that if you read articles in media saying like, why do we need all this stuff today? Because it was, there was never a situation where people didn't have, substances, support systems, or like, situations where they could actually check out or relax or something.
Yeah.
It's actually funny because shortly before you walked in, I just saw the headline of an article in Die Zeit, an article about a teacher who actually said he would have to do cocaine every Monday before he goes to school because he couldn't handle anymore his difficult kind of customers.
I know that from other jobs, but from teachers.
Yeah, but that's exactly. But that's interesting. You think, well, that guy's a DJ. Yeah, of course, that guy has a club. I mean, not now, but in general. Yeah. So, and I find it interesting that there's obviously a very hidden need for either a kind of relaxation or a kind of concentration on things, or just stimulation. Whatever field you want to address on your emotional scala.
It's maybe I give you one example. So besides many other things that I'm doing, I have a small beer brewery, doing craft beer here in Berlin. And when we actually looked at the market of beer, it's already like 6 years ago now. We looked at where is the majority of beer, or where do the people drink the majority of beer? And our assumption was, oh, it's the weekend, it's the parties, it's the club, it's the soccer games. But not at all. The majority of beer that people drink is after work at home alone. And why do they do that? Because they had a stressful day and they need something to calm down in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And now, basically, if you look at Canada, you see where cannabis became legal, the beer consumption went down. And there are even like doctors and health insurers saying they are thankful for every Canadian citizen who is smoking a joint in the evening instead of drinking a beer. Because you may say about cannabis whatever you want, and it's definitely dangerous if you dose it wrong or if you take it too early in your life, or no matter what, there's definitely risks attached. But the risk of a portion of cannabis compared to a portion of alcohol is much lower. And that's the reason why, in my opinion, it's also inconsequent to have alcohol allowed and cannabis not. However, that's maybe also the reason why many beer companies invest into the cannabis market, like Constellation Brands, for example, in the US. However, I strongly believe that people need this relief. And at the moment, they take it from alcohol or from nicotine. And by all research I see, cannabis is the healthier version of that. So so why not position it as something like this?
And is there something like cannabis therapy? Because there's ketamine therapy, there's LSD therapy, there's psilocybin therapy. Is there anything like, I mean, there must be like a couple of like a therapy movement that might include cannabis, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, to be honest, there's, for example, it's not allowed in Germany, but in the US or in Canada or also in Australia, you have a lot of cannabis clinics. And these clinics are not there to give you cannabis and then leave you alone, but it's really about a long-term treatment. So the whole post-traumatic stress disorder or something, that is all a long-term treatment of a cannabis, with a cannabis therapy. And I think because cannabis doesn't have this one ingredient like many psychedelics do, like, I mean, ketamine has ketamine and that's it in most of the time. So I'm not an expert there, but most of them has only one ingredient. Cannabis has so many, and different combination of different cannabinoids can treat different things. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why I think there's no cannabis therapy per se. But there's a therapy where you use cannabinoids to treat certain indications over a longer period of time. And I think a combination of CBD and THC, for example, for post-traumatic stress disorder is, for example, a very, very good therapy.
Mm-hmm. So, and that means like you would have like talk therapy, like combined with a longer...
Yeah, exactly.
A longer...
Yeah, psychologists are doing this for you. Mm-hmm. And then basically you take it... I think in the beginning together with a psychologist, and then it's a longer period of time where you basically then tell the psychologist about how you develop and what you experience. So maybe it's not 100% comparable to what we call psychedelics in the medicine, but it definitely is a similar direction.
So that's the thing. Is it a psychedelic or is it not a psychedelic?
Well, to be honest, cannabis, especially if you use cannabinoids in a very strong dosage, definitely works like a psychedelic. Mm-hmm. There are some scientists who say it's a different category because the way how cannabinoids work is still very different from the way how psychedelic works. So we have, for example, it was researched in the 1990s in Israel. Every human person has an endocannabinoid system with so-called cannabinoid receptors, CB1 and CB2. And what also many people don't know is that your body itself also produces cannabinoids. And for example, what happens when you smoke marijuana or smoke cannabis or you take it, the cannabinoids of the plant are docking into your own body and the cannabinoid system. And that's a very unique way of working. It's similar to the opioids, working with the opioid system. And psychedelics work in a slightly different way. And that's the reason why many people say cannabis can be a psychedelic, because the way how it works is similar in terms of the form, like as you dose it high. However, the way how it docks into your body is very different. And that's the reason why there are some people who say, yes, it is, and others who say you don't. I'm actually rather thinking about cannabis as a form of psychedelic.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense, kind of. But so coming quickly back to Germany, what do you think would have to happen to have a real decriminalization happening here, that you could actually use it, like, I mean, like, in a similar way that that Washington, for example, was.
Yeah. So, to be honest, it's three factors. One is which parties will get into power. The second question is, will there be a development within the parties? And the third one is, what are the overall global priorities? So first one, obviously, if you take a snapshot of today, if we have a left coalition next year with the Greens, the Socialists and the Social Democrats, I think that would almost be, I don't want to say a sure thing, but I think there will definitely something happening. Many people don't know that the Free Democrats, the Liberal Party of Germany, is also pro-cannabis. So if it's a Jamaica coalition with the Greens, the Free Democrats and the Conservatives, and it's not that the Conservatives have the clear majority within the coalition, I think there's also a strong chance. I know that in the last Jamaica negotiations, it was already a topic that the Greens brought on the table, supported by the Free Democrats. However, if it's at the end a very strong conservative party with a very small Green Party on the side, or a very small Social Democrats on the side, then I think it's rather unlikely that something big will happen. Then the second question is, will something happen in the parties? I actually see, for example, the youth associations of the CDU, of the conservatives, are more and more in favor of legalization. For example, in Berlin, they decided for it. I think in Brandenburg as well. The union of the conservative students also just it's you're laughing, but it's actually quite big. It's like tens of thousands of students in Germany. They're also for legalization. It was a huge discussion within the party about 6 months ago. So there is also movement in the parties. However, I think that's slower than the movement that could happen if there's a different coalition. And then the third thing, and that's my big concern, is the global topics. So, for example, the biggest advocates for legalization of cannabis in Germany are the Greens. And the Greens are the natural party that you talk to when you want to discuss how to legalize, what do they think, and how do they do it. And to be honest, it was always among the top five priorities, as long as you look back. However, now with the climate change being like the big number one topic, if you think the Greens will go together with the conservatives will say, I want this from the coalition. Then the Greens can say, yes, but I want this from the coalition. And then the conservatives say, I want this again. And then it's a negotiation. And the question is, how many compromises do you do? And my big fear is that cannabis will something that will be fall off the table in a kind of compromise. That the CDU will say, we only do climate change initiative ABC if you don't force us to legalize cannabis. So I hope I actually like expect that it might become a negotiation token, and that the not the problem, but the fact that the global warming and the climate crisis is so much on top of the agenda, the Greens will be willing to let go of the cannabis topic if they can get more content from the climate.
But would it be actually wouldn't. So it's not decriminalized yet also in Germany, right?
It's as many things in Germany, it's a gray zone, similar to CBD. First of all, all the different states in the country handle it differently. So in Berlin, for example, you can carry up to 15 gram without getting prosecuted by the state attorney. In Bavaria, I think it's 6 grams.
Yeah.
So there's no unique German way of handling it. I think that would be a good starting point, to be honest. And ideally not 6 gram, but maybe a different amount. But that is something where I think we need to also do a lot of things to not only bring it on the political agenda, but also harmonizing between the different states in Germany.
So the first step could be legalize it in Berlin, right? I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I also think like we always say we are a federal country where the federal states have so much power. However, if you compare us to the US, where Michigan can just decide to legalize cannabis no matter what the others are saying, or now New Jersey, unfortunately, that's not possible in Germany. Berlin tried it, I think, already 4 times. Schleswig-Holstein thought about trying it, and I think there are at least 2 to 3 other states. And it's always the federal government who says no. So if we would have the same system like in the US, that the states can decide themselves if they want to do it or not, we already would have states in Germany that would have legalized cannabis, at least in model projects. However, that is unfortunately not happening right now. However, that could be a compromise in the next election that, for example, a new government would say, okay, we don't want to legalize it per se in all Germany. However, what we allow is that states who have a majority for that can do model projects or experiments with that. And to be honest, I think that's a very likely case that a state like Berlin then can potentially say, yes, we want to try it out.
Plus psilocybin.
Yeah, I mean,
a dream place. This is what we're working on.
But
we have to talk about one time at least about one of your investors called Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
Did you ever meet him? Is like the question.
Yeah, no. He was in a call.
Oh, really?
But unfortunately, I was not part of that. I mean, I don't know how much is he still involved in that investment fund. I hope he knows that that there's investment in us, but I'm not 100% sure about that. So unfortunately, Snoop Dogg is not very active. However, there are other prominent investors that we have, like Scooter Braun, the manager of Justin Bieber. So he is more active. So there's emails, there is actually phone calls. However, since this investment round happened just before Corona, there was unfortunately not able to travel. But because we always wanted to meet our investors in the US after the round, but unfortunately it wasn't possible because of Corona. So hopefully if the vaccine goes through now, that will be happening next year.
So you're going to meet with Justin and Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, let's see.
For dinner. Okay.
Have a big party with them.
Yeah, I mean, we should mention that you just raised a very big round of investments. So we just, it seems like we're talking about a little company here, but it's actually on the way to become a really big player.
Yeah.
Right. I think that was amazing. Very interesting details that most people, I think, haven't heard about cannabis. Or like, let's say the focus right now is maybe on other mental health SSRIs and so on studies. But I mean, I think most people never really heard of the possibility that the other options that cannabis could actually provide also in terms of pain management. Yeah. And so, thank you so much for being here in person.
A pleasure. And I think psychedelics and cannabis and medicine go hand in hand. So
totally.
Let's keep in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.